it's already done. Oh, praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Is that your confession this morning? Oh, it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. It's already done. Oh, praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. And it's already done. Just confess your healing this morning. Oh, I'm already healed. Victory is won. Oh, I'm already healed. Oh, claim your children this morning. Oh, my family is sealed. Yes, hallelujah. My family is sealed. Oh, praise his name. The battle is over and the victory is won. And my family is sealed. Let's just sing it with all your heart to him. Oh, my family is sealed. Yes, hallelujah. My family is sealed. Oh, praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. My family is sealed. Oh, it's already done. Oh, it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. It's already done. So praise his name. The battle is over. The victory is won. Oh, it's already done.
Already over. Yeah. All we got to do is take in the word, become the word, manifest it, walk on into it. As we read this morning, we're going to Ephesians 6, we're going to read 10 through 20. It's good to see everybody here. And as we go to the word, let's just thank the author this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering this day. And Lord God, we thank you for most of all the opening of your word to us, Lord, and just bless the service today as your word falls on our hearts, Lord. You have your way with us, knowing our souls and heart, Lord, that we can hear your word, Lord, and you just reveal it to us. Bless Brother Dale as he's preparing to come this day to bring the word to us, Lord, and feed his little sheep, and bless Brother Wade for the opening of the word this afternoon, Lord. Just bless the services and be with us. And Father, thank you so much again for your word coming forth to heal us and lead us. Father, we thank you this day, and we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, and bless the opening of the word. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, stand therefore with truth and having stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
And take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance of supplication for all saints.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel.
For which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Thank you for the reading and opening of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. When you've done all, you just stand. Stand on that word. Amen. That's what the bride of Christ is doing, is standing and marching. Let's turn to page 174. Let's borrow a songbook. Amen. I tell you, there's going to be a march one day. We're marching from this rim to that rim. Amen. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city.
saved. Turn to one another, shake each other's hand, and just tell them, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Hallelujah. Amen. I remember we were reading that story about Elijah when he saw the chariot of fire come down and take him up to heaven. And I was telling Jonas that, and he said, so God sent his own chariot to go pick up Elijah. That was his own chariot, that chariot of fire. Amen. We're looking for that resurrection morning when we all gather and we'll go to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Let's change the order of the service. As our brother comes out, all hearts and minds clear. Amen. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.
See him, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, we'll just turn to Ephesians and read a scripture there and get into questions and answers. If we don't, then I'll pick the thought and just move on over, whatever you decide. So you write your questions down, we'll get it passed around and have questions and answers. Amen. Now, Sister Esther wants to meet with the sisters of the church after the evening service to get everything kind of lined up of where you're traveling, what you're doing, what's going on, you know, for the ladies, week out, as we'd call it, and all, but so just to do that, all right. Brother Bob is up preaching at up at Blue Ridge preaching this day, so remember them. And then remember, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, Brother Aaron will be ministering unto us the word of the Lord. So keep these things in mind. You know, we kind of changed things around and got it in the Sunday school and it worked real good. So we'll have a good time in doing that way. We can all have a Sunday school time and a time of doing it. So we just have to move things a little bit, change things a little bit. Put this over here instead of that and this, that, the other. We'll try to have if you have any comments or anything, testimonies or something, let Terrence know, because that way we'll move it over in the afternoon. We'll have the testimony service in the afternoon, cutting out the time of the morning. We'll do that. We'll move it into the afternoon or the Wednesday night service. So remember those, okay? Is that all of the announcements? Let's see. Yeah, the men will be meeting pretty quick to get together about their trip and all. So we want you to enjoy, you know, having your little bit of time together, in your, meetings and things. And I certainly enjoy it. I enjoy the time together with the brothers to get together and the kids to play and us grown-ups just sit around and talk and just have us a good time. You know, and we have a good time fellowshipping together, and we appreciate it and all like that. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for everything. We just ask you now that you'd be with us in the service today, and that your light and your love would be with each and every one of us, and that your grace we know is truly sufficient for every need. So we pray that you would bless each one. Remember the sick among us. Remember those that are not here today because of their sicknesses and the things. We pray that you would just bless and guide each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, we'll start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And once according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What now? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And what is his will? It's his word. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And now, I'll just review just a little bit, and if you have questions, then we can get a microphone and run back and let you give your questions and things. And feel free to question about anything in the point of what we've been talking about, which has really been talking on predestination. All right? We've kind of brought it to a close there the other night. Mostly of the services and things are last Sunday to talk about the point of predestination. And how do we believe predestination? Just slight review to where, what we do. Predestination. Well, this is predetermined. It's going to happen. Well, now God doesn't predetermine by his desires. Because he desired that all be saved. He doesn't predetermine by his own will or want to. Because that would pull over into he predestinates really by your desire. He predetermines by your desire because your desire will move over into your life and you'll live that way and be guided in that form. So we believe in predestination, which is destiny set beforehand. All right? But how is it done? It's done by foreknowledge. God foreknew all things. All right? So then there's nothing we can pull over on him. There's thoughts that you're having in your mind right now. God, before the world ever begun, had that. He knew that. So then don't try to say, well, don't think wrong, because if you think wrong, then remember your thoughts in heaven are louder than your voice on earth. So that's going to change it and make it all work to that point. But to think about predestination, a destiny is determined forever being in the world. All right? See, that's why we don't just cover predestination for a bride people. We have to get into deeper thoughts and meanings in that way. But we go by predestination for all people. Amen. Everybody Amen. Is predestinated. Amen. What? By God's foreknowledge. Amen. All right? That's that simple. See, God's foreknowledge allowed him to be able to sit back there and look down through time and see the beginning. But also he could follow all the way through with that same thought. Amen. And see the ending of all things.
That's right. Amen.
So that's predestination. That's destiny determined. All right? Amen. See, then actually we're making our own destiny.
Amen.
Because it's not according to his desires. It's according to our desires.
Amen. Right. Amen.
See? We desire to serve him. God knew before the world ever begun that some people would want to be saved and some wouldn't.
Right. That's right.
See, he's not setting a stamp on something and saying, well, this is the way it is. This is the way you're going to be. You're going to do. No.
Right.
Just remember, it's all based upon what you're believing.
Amen.
What your thoughts are.
Yes. Amen.
What you're determining. All right. So we actually, Brother Tom Fobos had a good way of saying it was a good thought. See, we actually trigger our predestination. In other words, our destiny of where we're going is some way back here in life set in an order to where that we'll reach that point when we get there. All
right.
And see, then it's all in us. It's not in him. See, that's where the people of the message are. They want all of these great thoughts and all like that. And that's fine. The prophet said it. He said, you always was eternal. Amen. I believe those things. But just remember, what was he talking about? If you have eternal life. That's as simple as can be. If you have eternal life today, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, eternal life, then that eternal life that you have always was eternal.
Amen.
But see, remember then, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God.
Amen.
Because it's according to our desire. It's not that, but it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally, but it's the what? The word, our seed.
Amen.
And there's a seed predestinated for every age. It was people for every age upon the earth. It's all set. Yeah. Why? Because he looked down and saw it. You say, yeah, but I didn't choose him. He chose me. Well, that's all right. We'll get back to some of those thoughts and we'll pick up a few little points along the way. You know, but to think about it. You say, well, but Brother Dale, I sought him. I cried. I prayed. That's good. I believe that. I don't believe the prophet was cutting it out when he said you didn't seek God or the Bible saying that you didn't seek God.
Right.
He's showing us the point of what we was doing. See, in our life, we were seeking God, trying to find God, right? You say, well, I wasn't trying to find him. No, but that's not what I'm getting at. See, it was him trying to find us.
Yep, right.
He said, Adam, where art thou?
Amen.
And see, Adam then had something to do with it.
Right. Amen.
He had a choice that he had to make.
Yep. That's right.
And see, then your choosing is based upon you on the basis of receiving it, but it's receiving something that's already paid for.
Amen. Right.
It was already finished. Our salvation was set and sealed before the foundation of the world. Yeah. Because he was looking at it as for what he saw.
Oh, right, man.
Then that way the thing can't say, why did you do that like this? You know, you can't say to God, but God, you didn't give me a choice. You set my choice. No, he gave you a choice.
Amen.
He gave you a choice.
Amen.
See, that's why it takes all of the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm saying that with all that I can get, with all of the Word of God to come out to the correct answer of doctrines and ideas, because if not, you're going to say, well, I've got this quote.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
Well, all right. He said that. He said you always was eternal.
Sure.
But we don't read the rest of the quote. If you have eternal life, he's explaining eternal life as being the person of Jesus Christ coming and living in us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All
right.
See, then that way we don't have to worry about it and try to figure out, I just really don't know whether I'm called or not. Well, you're just playing your own game and really crucifying your own self because you're not taking what he says.
Amen.
He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated.
Right.
All right. Now, did he hate Esau with a word of hate that we call it? No, we've been through that, right? It wasn't the word hate there or despising of it. It was Esau's ways that God hated.
Yes, right. Amen.
He loved Jacob's ways.
Right.
And Jacob's ways is hard for us to love sometimes because he was a shyster. That's what the word means, tripper upper, shyster. He, you know.
Right.
But yet he loved God.
Amen.
What did we cover through there for services and things? Why did God choose Abraham? Because Abraham, he knew what Abraham would do.
Amen.
He knew, as the prophet said, that Abraham would teach his children the way of truth.
Yep, that's right.
See, and he knows whether or not you will.
That's right.
Huh? See, then, let's make our calling and election sure. Then what do we believe? God did not predestinate by his desires. He predestinated by his foreknowledge.
Amen. That's right.
His foreknowledge lets him see what we will all do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Then he sees our choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Yep.
You say, well, you just said I didn't choose him. No, you've got to accept the choice.
Amen.
That's right.
He can stand before you every day of your life and hold the word of God out in front of you unless you receive that as for you.
Right.
A pardon is not a pardon unless received as one.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you accept that.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, then that's not destroying the rest where you didn't seek him. No, it's explaining it. We didn't have anything within us as humanly beings to be able to seek after God. We were heathen.
Right.
Yeah. But yet God put before us the path and give us a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he could predestinate according to the choices we make.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
So don't blame God.
Nope.
Well, now God, just like I tell you, my brother's a Methodist minister, but he said, God didn't give me a choice. I said, yes, he did. I said, he didn't make you what you are. You made yourself what you are.
Right.
And he knew exactly what you would be.
Yep. Right.
What you'd do. So what is predestination? It's a destiny set, but it's set before the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's set the point of God in his mind.
Amen.
Knew that before the world what choice you would make.
That's right, amen.
Right.
Is that hard to comprehend? Well, see, then that way the thing formed can't say, why did you form it? You can't say, well, God, you never gave me a choice. He said, well, look at all the choices again.
Right.
Like the story was told of what about the guy sitting on the top of a building, you know, or a house, and the water coming higher and higher, and you know, he kept praying, Lord, send me help. And boat come by, and he said, no, I don't want to get in that boat. This happened and that happened. No, I don't want to. Well, when it was all finished and he died and went up to glory, it's just a story for telling. He said, I sent you a boat. I sent you a lot of ways for you to get out of the trouble you're in, but you wouldn't do it. So you chose your own self.
That's right.
You can't blame God for the choices you make.
That's right. No. Amen.
You had a choice to marry a wife. You had a choice to marry, you know, to have a husband or whatever. You had a choice.
Amen.
Right.
Well, then you have a choice in Christianity.
Amen.
Right.
You can accept what he has done for you or reject what he has done.
Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
But remember, the point is, he knew the choice. I remember in the Baptist, they used to say, that ark that Noah built, it was big enough to carry everybody that was in the world. And I used to tell them then, I said, I thought it was, if the Bible says as it was, so is it. I thought that was pretty close to billions of people that was in the world
right.
at the time Noah.
Yep.
Because it would mean as it was, so is it now.
Yep.
You know. And, see, you say, well, what was the choice? Noah, build an ark.
Right.
Noah said, well, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to build an ark. Well, see, he proved his predestination by what he done.
Yeah.
You and I prove what we're doing by the life we live.
Amen.
That's right.
That way you can't blame God for you. Well, I wasn't given a chance like everybody else. I was born poor and things. I wasn't given a choice.
No.
Predestination don't have anything to do with how much money you got in your pocket.
No, right.
See, that doesn't. You can't blame God for things not happening the way you want to when you're too lazy to get up and go to work.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
Sorry, but that's plain language. Amen. But it's true.
That's right.
Yep. He said, "Well, God didn't give me a chance. He gave this person over here. Look at how they made millions of dollars. If you got up and went to work, you could have made more than that."
Yep. Right.
I was standing up in Jamaica one time, first time I was over there. Little Brother Reed had told me. He said, "Well, you know, these people over here," said, "they're." "They're a little different, Brother Dale." I said, "A little different? Nothing." I said, "A lot of you say you ain't got no, you're poor people, you're this, that, and the other." I said, "If you get up and go to work." Well, they didn't like that. Because you see, that was their pity party. They didn't have nothing to do. I said, "Get you," because I seen them walking around when I seen what they do. "I get you a machete and go down here and cut grass alongside the road. They'll pay you." But I said, "You're the one that's doing it. You're just too sorry to go to work." Well, it's the same thing to you and me. You know what I mean?
Right.
See, we make our own choosing. That's the whole point that I've tried to get you to see. You say, "Yeah, but if I make my choosing, then God didn't have nothing to do with it. But if it was all God, I didn't have nothing to do with it." See, you're trying to backstep around the real truth of any of the whole thing. See, you're trying to walk away and try to blame everybody else. You're trying to blame God and say, "Well, God made me this way." God didn't make you that way.
That's what
I told my brother. He said, "How can God judge me for being wrong when he made me wrong?" I said, "He didn't make you wrong." I said, "He made you right and gave you a choice." Then whatever you done with the choice, that's what determines it. Because see, that's predestination, is a destiny set. But the way God does it is by his foreknowledge.
Amen.
Well, then that way you can't go over here and say, "Well, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have an opportunity." Yes, you did.
Right.
You just didn't follow God in his ways.
That's right.
We had a choice. You got a choice in life. You got a choice to marry or not marry. You got a choice in this, work or not work.
Amen.
Right. And see, that's pretty good the way in America now. They odd to me, they're having to hire people at McDonald's and pay them $100 or $200 just to sign on.
Yep.
In some places, they said it was as much as $500 for you to come down and put in for a job.
Yep. That's right.
Well, no wonder. Why go to work when you can draw unemployment?
Yep.
See? We made it like that. Huh?
That's right.
But see, it's our choice.
Right.
No. It's our choice of life that God looks at.
Amen.
And sees that choice and sees you for what you want to be in your own self. But he gives you every opportunity.
Amen. Right.
You want to go through the Bible with anybody you want to take in the Bible, and let's sit down and talk about it. You say, "Well, he didn't give Cain a choice." Yes, he did.
Amen.
He told Cain, he said, "Would you not have been accepted had you done like your brother?"
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Don't talk to me about God not giving you a choice.
Right.
God didn't help me. I was raised poor. Oh, poor thing. Poor. You don't like for me to talk, do you? When I was a plowing a mule all day long out in the field when I was 7 years old. That'd be child labor today, wouldn't it? You know. That'd be bad. That'd be pitiful. They'd lock the parents up for treating their kids like that. But that's the only way we had of making a living.
Right.
They don't talk to me about it. That's what, you know, they say there at work, well, old Dale over there, he's They just wouldn't come over and talk to me about the pity-patter, how bad it was and how everything was rough. I'd start talking about what I used to do, and they just walk away. And we was poor. But see, church, we lived.
Right. Amen.
And we made it.
Amen.
My mother would not accept the things when they first started giving away of the cheese and the milk and the stuff and all. She wouldn't accept it. I told her one day, I said, Mom, I said, I don't know what you're doing. But I said, look, there's nine of us that pays income tax. Nine kids at that time. It was 13 and four died, you know. I said, there's nine kids we pay income tax. Don't you think that's enough to take care of what little bit you'd draw? Or what little bit you'd go get? Because, see, she had pride. You got a haircut every two or three weeks. It didn't make no difference. It may look like a bowl was set on it and they cut around it and ripped it off. It might have done. It might have looked like a lot of things. But we got a haircut. Why? Because that was pride. Why has America fallen? Because she's lost her pride.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. But it is not the same thing to say the bride of Jesus Christ is doing that. She's losing her pride. He said, no, well, you tell me. Where it used to be, you know, we believe this, we believe that. Now, what do we believe?
That's right.
And then we try to figure it out and try to blame God. And I can quote the prophet to you. Well, thank God. Glad you can. But you know, one of these days, that's going to be brought to judgment.
Right. Amen.
Right. We're going to stand at the judgment seat. You say, no, the bride don't know. No, the bride don't go to the white throne. She goes to judgment. Everybody faces a judgment. The bride of Jesus Christ has a judgment. But not a white throne judgment of a decision of eternal life or not. No. Because that's not it. But it's a judgment seat. We're going to have to give an account of the things we've done, whether good or bad, the Bible says.
That's right.
Well, I don't like that. Well, what are you going to do? What do you understand?
Amen.
Predestination, then, to sum it up, is the very point of a destiny that God looked down and saw.
Yep.
And he could write your name in the book of life or leave it out.
Amen.
But he would see your choice. And he's operating according to you, what you choose. Choose you this day who you'll serve.
Amen.
See, it's not predetermined in the basis that we don't have anything to do. Because like I said, you've got to accept eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah, but I come in the world with it. I got the quotes. Well, we're going to go to judgment one of these days with all those quotes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we're going to see who's got what.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. All right. It won't be no argument at that day.
That's right.
It won't be nothing for Lula Church to say, well, I didn't understand. Mm. They'll say, well, you remember that old hard-headed guy that preached to you year after year, in and out days and weeks and months of trying to get you to see what predestination was?
Yep.
And how that you had to make your own choice?
That's right. Amen.
I'll be glad to stand there that way, not to the point of trying to judge me and you or whatever, no.
Right.
But to stand there on the word of God that I've tried my best to preach to you. To get you to see what true predestination really is.
Amen.
It's God's foreknowledge.
Yep, that's right.
Then you can't blame him for anything.
Oh. Amen.
It would be said then that we have the plan, because that's what I got, just the notes if I do it. If you don't, if anybody has any questions, we'll go with the questions. But if you don't know this, preach a little thought goes with what I'm talking about. But you see what I'm trying to get you to see?
Amen.
You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, Brother Branham said we didn't choose him. He chose us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to accept the choice.
Amen. Right. That's right. That's right.
If you did not accept what he had done for you, it won't do you no good.
Nope. That's right. Amen.
So then it's not blaming God.
Nope.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I just wasn't treated right. Mm-hmm. You poor little thing. I told them people at work out there, and they began telling me about how bad it was and all, you know, in their life. I said, we was up before daylight. You fed the mule before you ate breakfast because you were going to work him that day. You watered the mule before you went to the field. When you got through at lunchtime and got back to the house, you fed and watered the mule before you went in the house to eat. Take about an hour, you'd go make sure you'd water the mule. You'd make sure he's doing okay because you knew he was going to be pulling the plow till dark come down. See, don't talk to me about bad times or hard times. But see, I know that we come through that.
Amen.
Why? Because we had a determination. Told you about my mother whipping my brother with a metal ring off of a wooden barrel when he was 18 years old. Oh, but now wait just a minute now. I'm out from under my mama. I'm 15, 16. She ain't right. No. When you get 15, 16, you got no sense to know what the hammering on you is beating on you is doing. You didn't know what it was doing before then. He was planning on leaving home. She said, you go back in the house and wait and you get done and get out of your mad spell, then you can leave. He went back in the house and sat down. He never did leave home. Because he knew she was right in what she was doing. See, God sometimes has to whip his children, my point.
Right,
he has to whip his children a lot of times to get us to line up and understand what's going on.
Amen. Yes.
It's not no pity-patter little baby thing. Sometimes it's pretty hard on us.
Amen.
Being a Christian is not a soft thing. But it's a wonderful thing to realize the end of all things when it finishes up.
Amen.
And we get to enjoy the pleasures of eternity.
Amen. That's right, amen.
Do you understand what I'm talking about now? So anybody got a question? Anybody got a point on predestination, on foreknowledge? On anything, anybody got a point on, question or comment? Well, I guess either I preached it hard enough to where you'd understand what I'm talking about, because that's what I've tried my best to do, is preach for you to see what it's all about, the truth of it. Well, no, Brother Dale, I just don't want to talk to you. You won't listen to me. You ever thought about it? It might not be you listening. It might not be me listening. It might be God. I ain't going to listen to our flim-flam playing pretty ideas or thoughts. No, I'm not. I'm trying to be a human. I try to be right. I try to be a Christian. Try to walk as one. To be a pastor, to try to help people and to do everything I could. But I also know that you've got a choice you've got to make. And you make your choice. You make your calling and election, sure. You get everything right in the right order. It'll come out to the right, okay? All right? Now, think about it then, if we're not, no questions. Maybe I can create a question, but think about it. Oh, got a question. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wait. Wait till we get the... We want everybody else to hear you.
I just wanted to know if you would elaborate a little bit more on the judgment. You said the bride will go before. I don't remember anything about that.
All right. Okay, according to the Bible now, we, as the bride of Jesus Christ, number one, boom, nail it down. The bride of Jesus Christ does not go to the white throne judgment because you have eternal life. What would you be judged on the basis of that? All right? So you don't have to worry about losing eternal life and going to hell or anything like that if you're born again. If you're truly born again, everything's already settled in that basis, and it'll be okay. But the Bible says that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all right? Now, that is not the white throne. The white throne, it will be it won't be no Jesus Christ standing at the white throne to plead your case. If you're at the white throne, you're at the mercy of the point of whoever who's talking to you. And you can't say, well, now Jesus, I've got this quote where Brother Brandon said, this man walks out over here and takes my place. He's not talking about a decision of eternal life.
That's right.
Romans 14:10. All right.
We must all stand at the judgment.
Right. We must all stand. We must all give an account. Well, what am I going to be judged for? For the things done in the body, whether they're good or bad, that I didn't get rid of. That I didn't listen to the preacher that was hollering at me and trying to tell me everything what we're supposed to be doing. I didn't do that, so I've got to give an account. Not a decision of eternal life. Get it right now. There's no such thing as the bride of Christ going before the white throne judgment. But we all must stand a judgment. Well, what am I going to... The things that we do that we don't repent of. Well, no, get it right. The white throne. The bride does not stand before the white throne judgment.
No.
But she stands before a judgment seat that even will judge angels, the Bible says. All right? Suppose I do something to Brother Donnie. I've explained this over and over, and I know how the human element works. When I first do it, I want to repent, don't you? I want to get rid of it. But you know, I let that go for a day or two, and it just gets a little bit less problem. Until you know what happens? Now, I'm explaining myself, so you can listen. You know what winds up happening? I start blaming him for it. Right. Instead of my problem that I should be going to him to repent of what I'm doing, I start blaming him and say, he ought to come to me. He's the one done me wrong. I'm just telling you what human beings will do and why we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ is because we will not straighten up. Something goes wrong. We want to bypass it, right? We want to blame everybody else for our problems. Am I right? No, I've tried. Brother Dale, I've repented. Godly sorrow is what worketh repentance, according to the Bible. If you don't repent of something that you do wrong, you're going to answer. But now you're making it on whether or not I do anything. No. The bride does not go before the white throne judgment. She does. She will actually be sitting on the white throne judgment to judge others and will judge angels and everything. And she will be sitting beside of Jesus Christ and doing the judgment. All right? That solve that enough? All right? But you say, well, what would it be? The little things that we don't do. Go over there in Galatians where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about fruits of the Spirit, and then it talks about works of the flesh. Brother Brandon was telling him about a little girl one day, and he said, she done this so-and-so way back a long time ago. And says God's holding that against her. See, if we don't repent, being a Christian doesn't make you to the point that you don't have to repent. Being a Christian should make us to the point we ought to want to repent more daily. More and more ever. We ought to repent every moment. We ought to cry out all the time, God, forgive me. Help me. But it's the little things. Is that what the Bible says? The little foxes is what spoils the vines. So you see, there'd be things in our life that we don't think that we owe it. Like I said, you tell me that I'm wrong. I'll argue with you till, and we won't talk about going home. We'll be here month after month because I ain't going to break down on that one thing. I'm a human being, and I've done it, and I know you have. That when it first starts, I've done the dirty. Brother Donnie's no problem. But after a while, if I don't get that right attitude within myself, I'll start blaming him. I'll start putting it on him. And after a while, I'll have it so justified until I didn't even do nothing wrong. I'm a sweet, goody, good. He ought to thank me for that. Am I right? Am I right? Am I telling it the way that it is? That it's the little things. It's not something that's a decision of eternal life or not. That's settled by the new birth. You're not being judged there for whether or not to go to heaven. It's a judgment, and I can't explain that to totally. I've been asked, where would that take place? I don't know. I don't know the placing of it. I just know that the Bible said it and the prophet said it, that you're going to give an account. Right. Well, I thought I'd born again. I thought the born again spirit took care of everything. Yeah, that's like one brother used to preach here with me years ago, and I tried over and over to try to get him to see. But he said, if you're born again, said it takes care of all your marital problems.
No. No way.
He did. He tried to teach it right here. He said, that takes care of all of your marital problems and everything. I said, no, sir. I said, the new birth does not take care of your marital problem. That would make adulteries and stuff like that being in the wrong place. See, that's why we got to keep a clean slate.
Right.
Why would a Christian not want to have a clean slate?
Right,
that's my point. That's my point, the whole point of all of the thing of saying it. Why would I not want a clean slate? Well, I don't want people to know that I've done that. Well, I certainly'd rather get rid of it here than to stand there before the ones I done it with. Do you understand? Do you understand if we're going to sit at a judgment seat, if there's going to be a judgment seat, somebody's going to sit on the seat and judge, and somebody's going to be standing in front of being judged.
Amen.
Now, not to decide whether or not you're going to eternal life. No way. Uh-uh. No. That's where they put it. Well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, I felt being a Christian took care of all sin. The Bible says, and the prophet says, that the bride is the only one that can sin. Where have you been? That's been taught to you from this pulpit right here for 50 years. Come on. Where's it at? Where's this great thing that we call it Christianity, but yet we can go out and live like the devil and say, well, that wasn't me. That was my old body that done that. I wasn't guilty. And next week I'll do it again. Well, why don't you go down and pay the Pope? You don't have to fool running around so much. What do you mean, brother? I mean, if you can get by with it by just a confession of a point, or even not a confession of doing, then go pay the Pope. They believe that. I don't. I don't believe that'll take care of our problems. I believe we're going to give an account for what we do in this world.
Right.
If I lie to you, then what would it be? If I steal from you, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm a Christian. I don't do that. Well, why'd you do it? Now, you're saying you're a Christian, and you will happen to one day have to admit it. Maybe you won't hear, but one day you'll have to admit that you was wrong.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Somewhere you're going to have to admit you was wrong.
Yep,
right. All right? Well, I never heard Christianity explained like that. Well, you explain it. You mean you got a right to just go out and sin? Only Christians have sins.
Right.
A sinner's condemned on a higher level. He's condemned for being this sin. But the Christian is condemned for the sins we do. The little bitty things, the little bitty foxes, the little bitty points that we do, the little lies we tell.
Huh?
What about it? The judgment of the deeds, whether good or bad.
Yep. Right.
So evidently, if you're going to be judged according to your deeds, whether good or bad, there must be a reward or a removing of a reward.
Right.
Okay? Now look, don't worry about it. You're not going to stand there and be judged and lose your eternal life. No. Now don't go running out in your mind. You stand before the white throne judgment. Just remember, only the sinners stand before this white throne judgment. The bride don't stand before the white throne judgment. She sits on the judgment with him.
Right.
Judging others. All right? What about it? What's your thoughts on that? Well, Brother Dale, you're just making it where there just don't look like there's any hope for any of us. No, I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. Don't think you can go out and live like the devil and get by with it. Yeah, but I've been a Christian. I've been a preacher. I've been this. Man, You understand? Bride does not stand before the white throne judgment. Bride does not lose eternal life nowhere and to be cast into hell. Those that are cast into hell are those that would not correct in this life their lives as sinners. Not people of bride that are born again, because if you're born again, you're going to try your best to get straight. Right? You're going to have a repentant attitude. You're going to have an attitude about it of godly sorrow. You don't have that attitude or that thought? Well, you might not be born again. No, you just might not be born again. I want everything straight. What was the old saying? I don't want no trouble when I get down at the river.
Yeah.
Anybody with thoughts, comments?
1 Timothy 5, verse 24 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after.
Right.
So if you don't get it straight here, you're going to have to give an account for it
exactly.
There. But if you get it straight here, you don't have to carry it there.
Exactly.
Right. That's what Timothy was saying.
Right.
Some men are open beforehand. In other words, you confessed it and got
right.
It over with. But some are going to follow you. If you don't, it's going to follow you
exactly.
To that judgment that he's talking about right here.
Right.
Not a white throne judgment, but that judgment.
Exactly.
Because the whole scripture right here is talking about Christian, right? Talking about Christian people.
Yeah. See, there's two judgments.
Right, exactly.
White throne judgment. And a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad.
Right.
See, that's two judgments that set there. You can appear at one or the other.
Yep.
But just remember, for every sin, this is what I love. You know, every sin that I repent of, I can't be brought that up again.
Right.
I mean, true repentance.
Right.
You're really sorry.
Right.
You know, God will never bring that again. because he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, and he'll never bring it up to you. You may have to answer for other things, but you'll never have to answer for that. That's what I love, because it's pure and clean. But that keeps me as repentant as I can be to say, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to do what's right. Anybody else? Brother Ryan.
I have a question about gifts and callings. Brother Dale, how did you know you were called to preach? And then how would especially a new Christian find their gift or calling?
First off, how did I know? Well, to be truthful to you, even back when I was a sinner, that's the reason I can preach on the gifts and try to place them in order and believe it. The prophet made a statement one day. He said, that's just the way it was. He said, some of you were just a little different. Remember that? That some of you were just a little different. You ever thought about what kept you from doing wrong? You ever thought about what kept you from lying, cheating, stealing, you know? Oh, as a kid, maybe you don't know, but I'm talking about big things. What kept you when others around you went after all of those things? See, something was dealing with me all the time. I knew that. But there was no way to express it to anyone because I never found anybody that had any understanding. You've heard me tell the story that I met God when I was 11 years old in a Baptist church. I seen him standing there. Not as a form, not as he's 6 foot tall. No, I saw a form. But I knew it was Almighty God. And I searched for that God all through my life. I read as much as I could. I studied the Bible, things. You're talking about a calling. You see, one day, it just began to click. After becoming a Christian, after coming in this message, after being born again, that would have thrown me on over into life about somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 years of age, we'll say. Things started working a little different. And I seen that there was a gift that I had. But I seen what the prophet said, you can't depend on gifts because everybody can have a gift. So it couldn't be that. It couldn't be just that gift. But it was something that was different. And I guess the thing that always held me to be different was one thing. I've always believed the Word to be God's Word. Sure, we were Baptists. Sure, we didn't understand a lot of things. But I still believed it to be God. And that's where I read it and studied it. I cried out before God to find an answer for what this was that was bothering me. I've never explained my whole Christian experience. But yet it was just something real. When other people talked about God, they talked about him off up yonder, back there, over there. I began to see him right here where we're at. Walking with us. indwelling with us. Yeah. Something was different. I didn't lie, cheat, steal. It was just something that I didn't do. I didn't make it on the basis of Christianity to say I didn't do those things. But I just make it on the basis that you don't have to do it. I put it back to you. You don't have to do wrong. I'm living proof that you don't have to do wrong. But as the word began to unfold, Brother Moat, trying to help me, he said, I don't understand you. I said, I don't understand at all. He said, quit trying to figure these things out and just accept God for what it is. I said, well, I guess that's the best way to do it. I at least got an answer. But see, still nobody could bring me to that one that I met in that building, in that church. And as time went on, Brother Moat said, well, you're ministering. I said, no. I said, I'm a deacon. I said, I can out to teach. I said, we can do services. I'll take care of things, you know. You know how it started here. We started with the services, he and I. He was the pastor, and I was just an assistant. But I began to see the word just keep unfolding. It unfolded to a place to where I could see what was going on. Did that make you anything? No. That's what I'm trying to explain. The more you think of yourself as being something, the less the fact that you are. Maybe that didn't come out right. But the less of the fact that you really are anything. Amen. The best way to find out whether you're anything is just be the worst, be the least of all. And say, God help me. Amen. But you see, back there, I loved the word. I told my wife, you heard me tell it. I told my wife, I said, look, the way the Bible looks, there'll be two prophets come before the end of the world. Malachi 3, Malachi 4. See, we Baptists could handle Malachi 3 because the Bible tells you, you know, about the John and the coming and what it was to do and the things that was to take place with Malachi 3. But it would be Luke 1:17 right through there. We could pick up and understand a little bit about John. But before I even come into the message or anything, I could see that there was something about that. It looked real. So when Brother Moat said, have you ever heard of, said, if you believed in prophets, said, we'd do, because he knew the Baptists. Baptists will take teachers of sometime, they want pastors, and they will handle the evangelists. But the prophets and the apostles is out for them. They won't take that part of the ministry. But you see, that was the thing he said. He said, what do you think about this Malachi 4? I said, what do you tell me about Malachi 3? Well, he proceeded to explain it to me. You say, part of my experience is what I'm trying to explain. You asked the point I'm trying to explain. Part of my experience, how do I know? And see, as Brother Moat proceeded to explain what was to transpire under Malachi 4. I had no troubles. That was where you've heard me tell the story that he asked me, said, what do you believe on the Godhead? I said, one true and living God, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, because that was the only way I could explain it. I had no way of explaining it. That was a Baptist explaining. Baptists believe in one God. But they explain it as God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He said, you're a Trinity just like anybody else. I said, please explain yourself, sir. He explained it, and when he got through explaining to one God, I said, I don't believe that no more. I don't believe in three gods no more. I ain't got no more problems with that. That's straightened out. Come in the message and begin to study the message and preaching on things and talking to people about things and talking about Daniel 70 weeks and the seals and the things when others seem to be scared. Brother Moat could handle seal 1, 2, 3, 4 and jump and pick up 6. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not throwing off on him. And he helped me to bring me through all of those things. But he could never see 7 and 5. He couldn't put them together. He couldn't, because he told me, he said, Brother Brown said, you know, that one seal will tie the entire Bible together. He said, Brother Dale, I don't see that. I said, well, I'm beginning to. Because one seal is one true and living God. Amen. And that'll tie all the seals together. But see, as time went on, I'm saying this back when I was a deacon talking and preaching and teaching Sunday school, but never confessed that I was a minister. I would never confess that I was a preacher. I waited and waited and waited, and then one day it just opened. The words you've brought is the proof of where you are. That's the thing that I've taught you. What I've taught you as a congregation is one thing. What you are is the Word of God. For the hour and the time that you're living, that's the proof of it going. How do you know you're called to preach? Because it comes to a basis that the Word unfolded. Until I had to deny no word. I didn't have anything to deny of any of the word the prophet brought. And defended it over and over. And my whole purpose in life since I've been in the message is to defend the fact of, like, when everybody didn't want to preach Daniel 70 weeks, that was the thing I wanted to preach. When they didn't want to preach the seals, that was the thing that I wanted to preach. Because I wanted to try to help people to understand. And as I did, it began to put it to the basis that I can stand here now and say, I haven't ever had anybody that attacked it. Oh, they don't believe it. But I mean, come and attack it. Come and show me where I missed it. Paul, how do you know where you are? The word whereof I'm called. Paul had a message to bring. That was his calling to preach. Now, that's exactly what I've explained to you in 15 minutes or something. The prophet had a message to bring. The message he had to bring was his call to the ministry. That's why I'm so adamant of preaching about the fivefold ministry. Is because the fivefold ministry has their calling is to preach what the prophet brought. That's their calling. What do you, if you want to know whether you're called to preach or not, what do you do with the word? See what it does. Hey, don't worry about it. Gifts and callings are without repentance. God will straighten us up. Do it. But then when you come to a basis that I wanted to quit. I did one time. Brother Moat for here, he'd laugh and tell it. I quit preaching. He said, what are we going to do? I said, well, I can teach Sunday school to do something, you know, services you can't have. But I'm just going to sit down a while. He said, why? I said, because I brought to the congregation my thoughts and ideas of as much as I can understand. They're into your hands. He said, well, I don't know. I said, we believe in praying for the sick. I said, we'll get by. Well, you see, then it took many years for me to realize that there was no way to sit down and stop. Because what had started a good work would finish it. Paul, what is your call to the ministry? The word whereof I'm called. Brother Dale, what is your call to the ministry? To follow the prophet's message. To every degree that I can and ideas I could have is my call. See, that way it's not gifts. It's not somebody hollering out of a tree that you're called to preach or somebody talk, you know, telling you. It's God just using his gift to keep bringing it. I made a statement in a minister's meeting years ago, and I still don't back up. I said, none of you have added one word to what I've taught. They didn't like that, I'm sure, but it was the truth. You say, well, why are you telling us? Because it was the truth. They done the best they could do, and I appreciate it. You don't understand this, old boy. I went back to the Baptist church, and or didn't go back. A man come down. I thanked him for helping me and doing everything he could do to help me to line up in a Christian life. I had to do that twice in this message in Gainesville. I went to the brother, and I said, brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you've done. You've done, you've helped me, you've done. I told Brother Moult over and over, I said, you've helped me, you brought me to this, and this station that I stand today is sitting on the basis of what I believe about what you've taught. I talked to a minister down in Athens and thanked him. Why? Because I thank God for all the people that have tried to help me and tried to do. Whether it be good or bad, whether it be hard or rough, whether it be something rough or just telling you how rough it is or just telling you how far you are off or whatever. That's why you always hear me saying, come on, let's talk. Right. Let's sit down and talk. Let's see what God has to say. See, because I know gifts and callings are without repentance. I didn't repent to get a gift. I didn't do that. But repentance activated the gift. That's why I didn't preach that you always was eternal, because I didn't believe it, and I've never taught it that way. But I know something was always there. I'd walk in the woods and know somebody was walking with me. I'd pray and cry out knowing somebody was there, but sometimes he wouldn't be too close. He had to let me fight it out to know. Paul, what is your call? The word whereof I'm called to preach. The mystery. Come on. The title today, Mystery of His Will. If you're a minister, you have a mystery, a part of a mystery. You don't have all of it. We're not in the basis of that. Come on. These ministers, they have a mystery. They've never thought of it, maybe, as to what I'm saying to this day. But a mystery. A part of God's word is they have to bring that. You remember this statement I've always made to you and tried to get you. I said, what is your calling in the Bible? What is your scripture that you hold true with your life and reality more than you do of anything else? What is it? How many times have I asked you that? But how many times have I told you that when I saw it in the Bible, I saw there would be two prophets come before the end of the world. I couldn't get John the Baptist. I could get that straight. We had that working, but we couldn't do it with Malachi 4. That was a mystery for the end time. Brother Branham, what is your calling to preach? A prophet. Listen, a prophet in the Bible. A man that the first thing he can remember is a vision at 18 months of age. But Brother Branham, what is your calling? He said, there's a mystery. Paul had a mystery and he had to explain it. There's a mystery that I've got to explain, he said. The mystery is the bride of Jesus Christ becoming one with God. That was his mystery. That was his message. What did he always preach? Go to 63 and go on through the message and listen and see if he didn't cover every message. Something about the what you are. What God has made you. You can see his mystery. His mystery was to top all mysteries. That's why it says it in Revelation 10. Where the mystery of God would be complete. It doesn't say mysteries. It says mystery. One mystery singular. Brother Branham had one mystery. What? God and man becoming one. That was his mystery. That's what he wanted to see. That's what I want to see. How do I know that I'm called to preach? Because there's something inside of me. The Bible says, you know how, you know, what the fire that's built inside of you. It's a mystery. How many services have I preached on the mystery of God? Because that's what it is. That's my call. But how do you know? Because you say that you never had a voice talk to you or anything like that. No. But I just watched him work his way. For 50 years I've watched him work his way. To try to guide a church into the Word of God. That is the mystery. Okay? Now, what was the other part about the...
I think
you got about 5 minutes.
You covered it all, but... I think you covered it all, but the other part was how would a young Christian especially find their gift or calling, but right. You really covered it.
All right. I'll tell you this way, just like I told my own son. If you ever think in any way that you're called to preach, run. No, I'm going to go help. Oh, you're going to go help God. Oh, glory. You're going to help God. He don't need me and you. We need him. When I was trying to explain gifts, even playing the instruments and things. See, God give you those gifts. Use them for his glory and honor. And he moves you up into the body of gifts, of nine spiritual gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, temperance, you know, all kind of things. But then he moves up into what? We moved up into the fivefold ministry, to cover the fivefold ministry, where there's a special group of people that it's not the man that comes predestinated eternally, but it's the gift or calling that was within his life. That gift is the Word of God. And then finalizing it would bring in the prophet because he could cover all gifts. He had the Word of God for our age. See, that's why that it hurts me to hear ministers after preaching 20, 30, 40 years and then hear them fall away. You just cry. Anybody else see anything? I've got just a minute. All right. Just come ahead, musicians, and let's just go ahead. We'll pick this part up and just bring it into the message part and go on through from today with this. But I hope you pay attention to one thing. My honor and glory all goes to Jesus Christ. Whatever you got, your gifts, you musicians, you song leaders, your jobs and things, your ministry is involved in your life. Serve God out of joy, not out of a have to. Make it a happy thing. Let your family know that there's something that you're wanting them to see about God. I'm talking about men, women, children. Let God rule us or move us. And let God be known through our hearts and lives that others may see. And then you'll come out of it at least of one thing. What is the one thing you do when you walk up to Brother Dale and you say, well, how are you doing? What does it say? Well, if I told you how I felt, you'd take me to the emergency room. If I told you exactly like it was going on, you'd take me to the undertaker. But you see, to talk about him as he really is my joy in life about Christ. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. Go ahead, brother, what we got? Anybody have a need? And then we'll go.
We have so we come went through one day into with it. His working house good. To magnify his name and worship him.
Remember this afternoon, Wade, bringing a message to
magnify his name and worship him.
Just remember these things that are set.
We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ.
Hey, we know we're going to have the 50th anniversary of the church this coming 4th of July. We have the place where we went to with the Christmas and things. The barn. That's where the service is going to be, that Sunday service. We will have Saturday night service here. All right? Brother Forney will be ministering Saturday night. Sunday, we will be going down. You don't have to come here. You come straight to Gillsville to the barn, as it's called. It's another name now, Green Acres. Hidden Acres. All right? And you come there, then we'll have the ministering, and then we'll have the catered dinner. One service only on that day. But that will be our 50th. But we're getting all of those planned to do and all to get everything to working, all right? So, Father, we just thank you for today. And we didn't know what we was going to do. We just wait on you. But we ask you to just help us. Guide us all in your loving grace. Forgive our sins and lead us in not understanding. Go with us as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back this afternoon to hear the word of the Lord. And we appreciate that because we cherish your word above all things. And we ask you to just help us. May we always have an understanding of you, that the love and joy and peace of our hearts to be gathered in you. And just guide us. Teach us, Father. Keep us in Jesus' name. You dismiss.
Oh, worship him, oh Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship.